Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
All right. I'm over here burning the pages, my usual. How was your day, Miss Alicia?
My day was good. What about Miss Tony? How was your day?
Hey, everybody. My day was busy. I'm back on my grind, and I'm just happy to be here this evening with you guys.
Yes, we're happy to have you. You know, it's always a pleasure when the Writing Royalty crew gets together. We're just coming off the high of a phenomenal interview last night with the real Rick Ross. That was so powerful. I'm still feeling really, really good about that. We had a good conversation, and it was great. It was great, and we're going to carry that spirit right over into tonight's show, and it's going to be another hot, hot, hot show. Hey, Aaron.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Oh, man.
Hey,
what you cook, Aaron? I'm going to take Leisha's. I'm hungry, so I'm just going to take Leisha's wine because I just want to hear that somebody had a good meal.
Well, unfortunately, the only thing I cooked is some purple haze so far.
Oh, okay. Well, God bless you. All right.
Yeah, purple egg?
No, Leisha don't have a repeater.
Yes, purple egg, Leisha. Purple
egg. You know, like green eggs and ham and, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
All that good stuff. Yeah. We'll talk on the side.
Aaron be trying to have that Bella D voice, trying to be all sexy on the radio. Can't nobody hear you, just be, well, you know.
Yeah. That's not true, Leisha. But you can admit that you think I have a sexy voice, but no, that's not.
No, I said you're trying to be sexy on the radio.
Aaron's sexy like that all the time. I met Aaron in person. He always has his sexy turned all the way up.
Yeah,
I think that's what helps him move those books. The ladies couldn't resist him in Jersey. They couldn't resist him. Go ahead.
She's lying. I was sitting. I ain't gonna lie. I was chasing some ladies down the street trying to get them book sales. I'm about my business.
He was.
I'll bring them back to the table.
You did, and they brought a book. What'd you say, Tony?
I have to agree. I met him in person, and I heard it in first person, and he actually was chasing the ladies down the street for books.
Yes.
I'm bringing them back, though, too, Tony.
You made their day.
And they left with a smile, Nikki.
Yes, they did.
Yo,
they did.
I ain't gonna lie, yo. I got to tell this story real quick.
Okay.
And I don't know if Tony was there, but this is the God's honest truth. And Nini saw it unfold. It was a lady walking down the street on the phone arguing with a nigga. Right? I flagged her down, said, yo, come here, man. See, this dude getting on your nerves. Let me talk to you real quick. Started pitching the book to her. She said, yo, I'm going to have to call you back. I'm about to buy this book. You ain't talking about nothing. And hung right up on that nigga. Yeah. I kid you not, yo.
Yes.
I peeped the argument from, like, 2 yards out. I'm like, oh, she arguing with a nigga on the phone.
It I was there. I have to bear witness.
Yeah, I was like, girlfriend,
she walked
come
off
here
like,
for a minute.
He is all in my business. Shoot, who he think he is? Thank you. I'm going to read this as soon as I get home.
Yeah, man.
Look, Tony, now we know why people trending him and chatting on him in different groups.
Well, damn. I'm glad somebody know, because I don't even know.
See?
But listen, tell them people that's following me and talk about me in groups that I don't know about, I appreciate it, and could they please go out and get change for a dollar right now while it's 99 cents? I need 150 downloads. It's Wednesday now. I need 150 downloads by tomorrow night at 11:59, so... I would appreciate if you would tell a friend to tell another friend. get this reading thing going.
And you tell two friends, and you tell two friends, and so on, and so on.
That's how it works.
Yes, I'm excited. Yeah. Tonight is a special Wednesday night edition. We end the clubhouse. We're going to turn it out talking about corner hustle, corner pockets. We have Ty Marshall, and we also have Destiny, what is her last name, Henry. And Ty Marshall is out of the Owl camp, and Destiny Henry is out of Leo Sullivan's camp. So we got two great authors going to be in the building tonight. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Right quick, Aaron, give us, what was your concept when you came up with that particular subject for tonight's show? What were you thinking?
Like, basically, you know, corner hustle, corner pocket. If your hustle is at a corner level, then you're going to maintain corner pockets. Like, you never gonna rise above what a person on the corner is supposed to get. And sometimes people hustle be so, you know, geared towards the corner hustle mentality that they'll think that they've reached a total level of success without ever exceeding beyond the corner, and they won't even be able to even fathom anybody else, you know what I mean, doing anything like that. Like, you'll have people that may hear somebody talk about 100, 200, you know, kilos, or if just saying we're talking about the game, the dope game or whatever, and they wouldn't be able to fathom that because they were like, huh, that's 200 kilos. But they don't, you know, they don't know. They only seen that when the drug bust happened and they seen it on the news.
Right.
Now, I mean, so it's like the corner hustle mentality. You got to be raised. You got to be rising above that corner hustle, corner pockets. If you start, just because you begin on the corner, you don't have to stay there. The mentality is to get up off the corner. And I see a lot of times a lot of brothers and sisters today that associate themselves with street life or that come from that background or whatever. I'll be seeing most of them be having like a corner hustle mentality. Like, if they're saying, hey, you know, I'll be in the projects all day, that's really what it is. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not, you know, that ain't what it is.
Yeah, and so I think with that, with you saying that it also can spill over into what it is that we do with these books. Like, if you have that I'm only promoting on Facebook mentality, you're going to have that I only post on Facebook pocket. You know what I'm saying? You have to be on other networks, other venues, you know, doing book signings, you know, try to do some of that paper book game, like getting your books into hands of readers, you know, more than just saying, you know, people that you run into on one social networking site. So I think that also falls into what we do with the writing, you know, having that small mentality of I'm just going to hustle around here all day, it's going to result in what you actually get out of it. What you think, Aaron?
I agree 100%. Like, you know, you gotta be exercising every aspect of this game. Like, if you could fit there, like I've done ghost writing and all that. I wrote nonfiction books. I done ghost wrote fiction books. You know, like I'm in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I got a nice resume. You know, that I could present. You know, so it's like you gotta be able to show people more than just sales. Sometimes, you know, you may be able to show a person sales, and they may be looking for something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you gotta try to be able to really be mastering your craft. That's a part of mastering your craft, knowing every angle of the business.
Absolutely.
You know. And,
yeah.
Can't be a corner hustler.
Right. Right. Yep. And I agree. And tonight we're gonna get these authors in here. One of them is talking about the hustle. The other one is talking about eat, pray, and no love. So they're gonna be looking at, you know, different phenomenal sides of the game, of the industry. We're going to talk about, you know, different facets of their books. But before we get into that, we're going to let Miss Tony pay the bills.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, welcome, everybody, to our Wednesday night edition of Writing Wrongs the Radio. And we are dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness. Now, Boss Brady has some books out there. Speaking of reading and hustle, I'm going to hustle these books out to our bosses there. He has the PCAP series 1, 2, and 3, and I just I'm dreaming, Nene. I'm dreaming about part four. I'm at that point.
Me too.
I know those characters are in your head trying to buy the space, but we patiently waiting.
Yes.
Be on the lookout. She has the Trust No Beast series 1, 2, and 3 by the one and only Cass Street author. So those are some series, phenomenal series that you should get into your library. Now, under the powerhouse of G Street Chronicles, she has Tainted, Life, Fear, and Death. And need I say she's also pinning that part two? Fourth lady is busy.
And so undercover programs that's going to hit them right in the face. Just tell them to watch their back. It's about to go down.
down. Like you said, watch your back and keep those cyber eyes peeled. Now, my co-host, Aaron Bebo, he's no slouch with his pen, as I've told you guys, and we're trying to get to 150 downloads of one of his titles called Change for a Dollar. And actually, you will get Change for a Dollar because it's only 99 cents, so hurry up and get that. He also had Rat Hunters, my introduction to Mr. Bebo, and an all-time classic, Till My Casket Drops. And under Powerhouse E Street Chronicles, he also has a number one seller, I Used to Love Her. Need I say that's my favorite hip-hop, and Busy, and in part two. Those characters in your head also wire the space, Bebo?
Yeah, I sent you a little preview. You got to check that out.
I'm nibbling slowly because I don't want it to end.
Yeah, you got to check that out. It's going to be crazy.
I am checking it out. I think I'm on my last chapter. I'm waiting patiently. Now, please, like you said, we're trying to get to those 150 downloads, and I know our boss is pushing there, so please head over to Amazon and one-click those titles. I'm going to pass it over to my beautiful co-host, Mrs. Leisha Girl. What's going on this evening?
Everything is good. Everything is wonderful. As Nene previously said, we had a wonderful, wonderful, very powerful show last night. And we do appreciate everybody that tuned in, streamed in, called in, was in the chat room. We appreciate you guys because you guys really came out and gave a lot of support, and we appreciate that. Also, I want to remind you guys, there are some hot reads on Amazon. You might want to check them out. We have Girlfriends by author LaVon. That is a hot, hot, hot book. I'm telling y'all now, you might want to get that in your Kindle or your Nook library. Also, we don't want to forget, last night we did have Freeway Ricky Ross on. He does have a book that is out. We want you guys to head over to Amazon and hit that one click. Also, he co-wrote the book with Kathy Scott. Now, she is a true crime author, and her books are awesome. Just her pen alone is awesome. So we want you to go out and check out Amazon for all of those authors. We have The Freeway, Ricky Ross, The Untold Autobiography by Ricky Ross. That is on Kindle, Nook. You can get it on paperback. And then we have Kathy Scott. And she has, I want to say, 10 books, true crime story books. And then there's also Gary Webb, who was part of the whole thing, but he wrote a book called Dark Alliance. So you might want to go out, get that book, just, you know, to get a little, educate yourself on the whole situation and everything and everyone that's involved. Really, really interesting read. And Mr. Aaron Bebo, again, he said he needs 150 one-clicks. So we want to get Change for a Dollar pumped out. I already have my copy, but if you don't have your copy, make sure you go out and get it. It's 99 cents. Is it on 99 cents on Nook 2?
Mm-hmm.
Is it on Nook 2, Aaron?
Sure. I don't know if Nook changed it yet, but if it's not, it'll be changing. But, yeah, make sure y'all go get that. Get one for a friend. It's a classic. Like, everybody loves quarters. This is not a game.
Definitely. Look out tomorrow. We'll be doing some giveaways, some G Street giveaways. So make sure you keep your eyes peeled to our pages, my page, Leisha's page, Tony's page, Aaron's page, anything G Street. Be looking out. We're going to be doing giveaways all weekend. So make sure you're tuned in. Several different authors will be doing giveaways, so make sure you're tuned in. We want to give some books out, some writing royalty giveaways as well will be coming up out of the Nene Capri collection. So make sure you keep your eyes peeled. It's about to go down, and tonight we're going to be talking about that corner hustle, corner pocket. And with that said, Aaron, let me hear a little bit of that Ace Hood. Go ahead and drop that beat.
Hustle, 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 hard, hustle, hustle.
Every hood got their own hustle, but this is the hustle's anthem. Hustle hard. Get a buzz in that period, and I said buzz, not hit.
But in that period, I have to just be honest. Like, it's just.
And I don't think that you've been really paying attention, honestly.
I have. I've been paying attention to this bounce scam. When you dropping and you selling $36,000 in a month, it's kind of like, back up, dude. You bugging. Like, those type of numbers, those type of numbers will make you lose an independent deal with the guy around the corner.
Oh, shoot.
It
can't be good.
Yeah, it can't be good. So, you know, I mean, but yeah, and then, honestly, like I said, 3-4 years, and you only, like, you've only generated 3 to 4 songs, and it's been longer than that. I'm just saying 3 or 4 years. It's really been out longer than that. It's been around since probably, like, 06.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I mean? Like, in a 7-year period, you've only generated 3 to 4 songs that's gotten a buzz. It's not good.
You know what? I think that it's not even the actual artist. I think it's the production company. The same, like, in our industry, you know what I'm saying? You got a lot of hot authors who are on publishing companies who don't know how to market them, and they don't get, you know what I'm saying, the notoriety that they should get. A lot of time it has nothing to do with the work, the quality of it, how good it is. You just on a team that doesn't know what to do with you, or may don't have time for you because they got other big projects, or they got something else going on in the camp that takes up more precedence, you know, because definitely when he hits the stage, and when you listen to his albums, his stuff is beast mode. Like, I can sit and I listen to his CD when I'm driving because I spend a lot of time in the car, and I don't have to do that, skip to the next track. Like, that last album was a beast. You know, I'm in the gym. I got my headphones on. I'm listening to, like, 7 songs in a row. So, you know, like I'm saying, like, you could be in the game for a real long time. We have a lot of seasoned authors, veterans, been in the game. They just can't catch that company that knows how to market their work or knows what to do with them. You know, and they end up falling, you know, to the wayside. Or some people, they hustle, like we talking about. They hustle isn't that big. You know what I'm saying? They got good work. They don't know how to hustle it. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what to do with it. They might have that corner mentality versus that corner to market mentality. That's a huge difference in thinking. You know what I'm saying? Having, okay, corner or corner to market. Like, that's huge. Now, how you feel about that, Aaron? Did I make any kind of sense in what I just said? Or you going to reject that? I'm watching you. Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. Like, of course, he could possibly. I mean, that happens with a lot of people. I don't think that's his circumstance particularly because he's not even with a hot crew. Like, his crew is hot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Khaled, Rick Ross, you know what I mean? Like, so that's definitely not the scenario. He's just not hot. But, yeah, you're right. Sometimes you give it a label. Or do artists get with a label, or authors get with a publishing house that really doesn't know what the. That's happening a lot more and more these days because of the fact that so many people are popping up, becoming publishers. Like, it's like they got to overnight become a publisher overnight god or something. Because I know for a fact these people. No, I'm serious. Like, I know for a fact these people don't even have a quarter of the publishing knowledge they need to publish someone else.
Right.
Let alone their self. You know what I mean? Like, publishing is vast, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music is publishing. That's how far the reach goes. It's really about the publishing at the end of the day. It don't matter who's singing the song, who owns the publishing.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what the song all boils down to. So, like, I know for a fact that a lot of these people have no business at all publishing. So, of course, that's going on right now. A lot of authors, especially new authors who don't know any better, they new in the business or whatever, they don't know what to do. Like, if most of them come into this like a blade of grass, like green. They be like, you know, they're like, I got signed. Somebody's interested in my work. And they not realizing, like, nobody really looked over your work. Nobody,
mm-hmm.
Somebody hit you right on Facebook where it all took place or whatever. Your email, it all took place right there. That's where the caveman back came out, and they knocked you over the head and drug you back to the cave. Like, you know what I mean? It's just real simple. Like, they hit you like, yo, you got me. Yeah, send your thing over. When you sent it, they probably signed you the next day, which is or a couple of hours later. I mean, once they really were sure you had something. And that was it. They just putting out books now. Like, it ain't even, yo, honestly, this one got so bad, like, I'm being serious. Like, I don't even, when people be, like, trying to diss my work, like, it don't happen often, if at all. But if somebody does, it just happened a minute ago with a title. I already knew what that was about, though. But when people was doing that, I was laughing. I'm like, yo, like, man, these people don't know anything about writing.
Wow.
The stuff that these people are, for real, the stuff that these people are reading right now, they couldn't decipher good writing anyway. So I'm like, I'm laughing at it. I'm like, man, come on. Like, it was a time in this industry when I used to really be feeling like, yo, I got to bring my A game right now because so-and-so dropped or this person dropped. I don't see nobody out here. I'm playing around right now. Like, real talk in that sense. Like, the writing is horrible and on a large scale. Like, a small scale, there's some very good authors out there. And, you know, if they get with the wrong publishing house, then they may never get seen. It's just the truth of the matter. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with you with what you were saying. It makes sense.
Yeah, because it happens. And you have to realize, too, a lot of authors – they have their work and it's their baby, you know, and then they see somebody may have some popularity on Facebook or, you know what I'm saying, a few people coming by their page and now they done started a publishing house and they think that that is what's going to get their work the same popularity.
Word the mother.
And popularity in one click. Just because you're getting likes on posts does not mean no one heads over to Amazon, Kindle, iTunes, and clicking. You know what I'm saying?
It's
crazy because, you know, people spend a lot of time, like you always say, like you have authors who are posting, you know, different things all day, wasting 25,000 words, 30,000 words all day posting, you know, ridiculous posts where you could be putting that in books and making, you know, good quality. And I think people fall into the pit of popularity and forget that real readers do not care. They don't care about that. You know, they don't care what you ate dinner. They don't care what you put on this morning. You butt naked posting pictures, but you selling books. Like, my profile picture never changes. My cover picture never changes. It's always about books because Facebook is about business to me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I love my bosses. I'm so happy that this affords me the opportunity to speak to them and, you know, interact with them. But I'm about my business. If they come on and talk to me, I'm talking right back to them. I make sure they know that I thank them for all their support. But all day, you're going to get book covers out of Nene Capri. You know, every so often I'm having a day where I might post something, I'm out with my family, but it's real quick and I'm back to live action. Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, you have to pick your battles. Either you want to become a best-selling author or you want to become Facebook famous. It's up to you. Corner pocket, corner hustle. That's all we're talking about here tonight. Right in Royalty Radio, we got Ty Marshall up in the building out of the Owl camp. We have Destiny. She's out of Leo Sullivan's camp. We're going to be talking about these different types of ideas about the work, about the industry, about art. Writing Royalty is about highlighting everything literature. We got Aaron Bebo, the director with the pen, the fabulous Ms. Tony and Ms. Leisha. I am the boss lady, Nene Capri. I can't wait to get them up in here. Ms. Leisha, please, please, please let our callers learn who they'll be talking to this evening.
Absolutely. Author Ty Marshall is one of the hottest new writers in the urban fiction game. It's authentic depiction of the streets based off of real life and real world experiences set him apart from the pack. His ability to write fiction from a real place makes him special. But it isn't seamless the way he weaves the two worlds together. And that's really what makes him an undeniable talent. Ty recently joined Owl.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to him, where he stays true to the company's mantra and demonstrates the highest level of storytelling with the help of the Owl founders. Shout out to Ashley and Travis. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
His debut novel, Eat, Pray, and Know Love, actually is scheduled to be released August 1st. So that is this Friday. And he is giving out two copies tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So two lucky listeners will get a copy of his
I'm listening. I can't get one.
Debut Friday. I'm listening, too. We have Right, me too. We need some more copies. Everybody need a copy.
Yes.
Author Destiny Henry is the best-selling author of Black Woman Scorn, which is 99 cents on Amazon right now, and the widely anticipated Hustler's Love, and that is set to debut on August 22nd. Along with other short stories and essays, she's able to combine an organic perception on life in her books, allowing her to connect with readers, you know, authentically, by bringing life characters of a diverse and extreme, you know, spectrums into her work. She is a very good author. I always start reading books. This is a bad habit. I'm going to have to learn how to finish them. But I did. I actually started reading Black Woman's Scorn.
And you got so much work. They can't charge it to your heart. They cannot charge it to your heart because you ain't have so much work. You be seeing through those books.
I feel the same way. I try. Yes, I try to get my reading in, and I always start it, and then a project come up or I got something I gotta do or a flyer gotta be made, and I get wrapped up in stuff I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I got my bookmark in there. Wherever I finish, I can always start. As long as it's a good book, I'm going to remember what I read. So it's all good.
Definitely. Absolutely. Let's bring them on in the clubhouse and get this evening hopping.
770203, you are live in the Writing Royalty Clubhouse. Who are we speaking with?
This is Ty Marshall.
What's
hey.
Good, Ty?
Hey.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on?
Welcome.
Good to have you here.
All right, good to be here.
Yes, thanks for coming out and joining the crew. This is Nene. We're going to be getting into some hot topics very, very shortly and get your ideas and thoughts on this corner hustle, corner pocket mentality.
Okay.
Go ahead and bring in Destiny so that we can get the clubhouse jumping. Is she in the clubhouse yet? Did she pull in? Did she pull into the parking lot?
I don't know. I don't see her.
She's here.
Maybe Lisa see her.
She's here.
Oh, bring her in, Lisa.
Okay. Well, tune her mic up and let's go.
There you go.
Hey, Destiny.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Destiny.
Good evening. Good evening.
Welcome. You are live with the Writing Royalty crew. This evening is our special edition on Wednesday night. You have the director with the pen, Aaron Biro. You have Miss Leisha, as well as the fabulous Miss Tony. I am Nene Capri. We also have Ty Marshall in here this evening, and we're going to get it cracking. Thank you for coming out, and welcome to the clubhouse.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Definitely going to get it jumping. Ty, please, for our listeners who are just tuning in, some of them who may not have your work or have experienced your great craft, please share with them a little bit of your journey. You know, how'd you come about getting with Al? Let us know who you are. Let us get to know the author behind the pen.
Okay, I'm originally from Peekskill, New York. I grew up, you know what I'm saying, in Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Atlanta currently. You know, I've been living here for probably about 7-8 years. But I came about, how I got with Al was, just to give you the short story, I started wanting to get into writing, and I, you know, big fan of a lot of authors. So I started writing and just doing a bunch of research, and I was going to go the self-publishing route at first. You know, I had started my company, I was going like that, and I was doing my research on editors, and I came across Chloe Kane, which is the editor over at Al, and I had me and her, we went back and forth. I ended up sending her to edit some of my work. And then she said something to Ashley about it first. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And Jaquavis ended up contacting me, asking me if I would be interested in, you know, coming over there to Al. So it kind of went fast. Like, it wasn't something that I even was looking into doing. I was actually looking into self-publishing, and it just, you know, opportunities fell in my lap, which I was just like, all right, this is, you know, this seems like a good chance to, you know, get my work out there to a larger platform than I might have been able to reach. you know, mm-hmm. being a self-publisher and a new author. And then when I got over there with the team, everybody is family, you know, from JM to June Miller to Jaquavis to Ashley, everybody over there, they real solid people. So I just, it's just a good place to be. And everybody's an open book. Everybody's an open book, especially for me, being new to this game. You know, nobody turns a deaf ear to any question that I can reach out to anybody at any time, whether it's Amalika, whether it's Danielle, you know, and just ask questions because it's a good mixture of veterans and new authors over there. So it's up to you to really, you know, like they say, closed mouth don't get fed. So it's up to you to ask questions and do what you got to do so you can learn this business because it is a business. You know, at the end of the day, we all want to get paid.
Exactly, exactly. Now you have your new book coming out, Eat, Pray, No Love. Talk to us a little bit about that without any spoilers.
Okay, Eat, Pray, No Love is really, it's an urban suspense thriller. You know, it's about a guy named Bryce Edwards. He's a real estate developer here in Atlanta. And he suffered a tragic accident when he was young. His whole family died in a plane crash.
Mm.
Which left him, you know, he inherited a whole bunch of money. And he took that opportunity and he didn't just blow it. You know, he really applied, you know, with his father. His father had a big legacy here in Atlanta as a real estate developer and a philanthropist. So he grows up following his father's footsteps. But it's something about that plane crash that happened that's a big secret that he's been holding his entire life. And it's somebody from his past that knows about that, that knows that secret. So throughout the book, they're blackmailing him and using it to do stuff to him. And you really don't know who the character in the book is that's doing it. And you find out at the end it's a big twist. And it's a lot of plot twists throughout the book. So it's crazy. Things are happening to him in the book. So
yeah, I
think
that.
Everybody
will
really like it. I try to come out the box like with something, you know, I'm a street dude, and I just try to come out the box with something that nobody would expect. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just expect, all right, you learn my history. They like, all right, he's a street cat. I'm a do more recollecting than writing. You know what I'm saying? It's easy for me to just pull stories that I know and stories that I've been in the street and did stuff and just sit there and change the characters' names and make a book. But I really wanted to be creative. Like, I really wanted to get into my craft. Like, I really want to be a great writer, not just somebody who just tells stories that I know. You know what I'm saying? So I just really try to challenge myself to be creative. And, I mean, I think come Friday, everybody's going to, enjoy the finished product.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's
going
to be good.
Sounds
to
refreshing.
Need that.
Need that.
The industry needs that. It needs something different that we can all latch on to and say, now, that's a good read. getting ready for that. So I'm proud of you, and I'm happy that, you know, you're having this opportunity, and hopefully the readers will grab onto your work and, you know, help you go to the next level.
I appreciate y'all. I really appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we're about to get it crossed, so please get ready to debate because it goes down in the clubhouse.
I'm ready.
You ready? All right.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Put your knee pads and stuff on because it gets rough around here.
I ain't never on my knees, so, you know. you got I'm a stand up dude all the way around the board.
I like that. You didn't get caught in the needy track. I like that about you. You on your toes. They just spoke about what was going on over here at Ryan Royalty, so you ready.
Yeah.
Miss Destiny, thank you for coming out. Please, for our listener audience, give them a little bit about your journey, how you came to be in Leo Sullivan's camp, because he has a diverse palette of authors. Definitely, let us know what you have going on.
Well, thank you again for inviting me. It's been amazing this far because, for one, I never attended or never expected to go as far as I'm going, especially coming from me being adopted, it's like a whole different journey. And how I got with Mr. Sullivan, which I love him, I love our whole family, because we just stick together as one. Like when one of us got a new book out, it's like we all have a book out.
Right.
I first tried to bring out my craft by self-publishing, and, oh, man, that was a disaster. So I went through Facebook asking everyone, like, do you know someone that can help me publish my book? I really need help. I can't do it on my own. So then somebody recommended me to Mr. Sullivan. So I was like, okay, let me go check him out. Then he told me he was interested in signing me. But then me being hard-headed, I just not paid attention at first and tried to do it myself. And then I contacted him after no reviews or nothing for my book. So I was telling him, like, I really need help promoting my book. I don't know what to do. And he was like, you know what? Send your book to me. And so I sent it to him. And he was like, I love how you did it. You know, being that he have an urban fiction company, and my first book is not really, I don't really consider it urban fiction. Because it was my first book. I loved it. I just loved how I did it. It wasn't as street as hood as my second book. So he ended up telling me, you know, that he was going to sign me, and it was, like, the best news I've ever had in my life through everything that I've been through. It was just the best.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because some people have a very horrid story, you know, about publishing and about being new, and, you know, people wanting to either charge you astronomical fees for advice or, you know, not wanting to give you advice at all. You know, it's good to hear in our industry that, you know, there are publishers out here who are still sticking to the code of ethics and putting out good quality work and embracing authors and teaching them, you know, because that's what you want to do. You know, when Wahida came on the show, one of the things she said was she was proud to see that Cash and I are, you know, moving on our own thing, because she said it was what she wanted to see, you know, that we could be able to stand on our own and, you know, publish work outside of us. You know, she knew she trained us well. So definitely, you want to work with somebody who wants to see you, you know, strive and go forward. Aaron?
Yeah, definitely. What was your first book about?
A Black Woman Scorned. I started writing it because when I moved down to New York, I started living with my cousin, and I started to see how their baby fathers were nothing. They wouldn't help them. So I was like, why don't I write a book to help a lot of single mothers out there that have no one to turn to? Like, I'm saying the words that they want to say, but they can't. So I decided to write a book about three sisters who are each single parent, and they're just trying their hardest to live life and also be parents. Like, you can have a life, but you got to remain a parent. So they went through so much trials and tribulations to the point that they felt like giving up, but they look at their kids and know they can never give up because they have little ones that look upon them.
Okay,
that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Now, where do you draw your inspiration from? Is it more so personal experiences, or are you more into the writing thing, like? Just generally, like Ty, because I know you said your second book was a little bit more hood, so obviously you went in another direction. So is it because of craft or is it because of industry?
I think it would be both. It would have to be both, I would say, because I feel more. I love my first book, but I feel super confident with my second one because it brought a whole different side of me out, a side that even I never knew I could do. So with the industry, my publisher told me, he was like, this is an urban fiction company. So I was like, okay, since you said that, I'm going to come harder. And I feel that's exactly what I did with the second book. I came completely harder than the first one.
Definitely. And you always want your next work to be better than your one before it.
We got a caller. Let me grab this caller real quick.
Definitely.
937-313, good evening. You're live with the Writing Royalty Crew, Ty Marshall. I'm sorry.
Hi, Stacey Johnson Leonard.
Hey,
how you doing,
Stacey?
Hi, family.
Hello.
What's going on?
Hi, Mr. Ty.
How you doing?
Hi, Miss Destiny.
Hi.
What you got for them tonight?
To me.
sorry, my bad. Because you was in inbox, and then I pop up, and you're on the phone line. So I know you always call and support the show, and we do thank you for that. So, you know, get them a little bit of the Stacey personality and charm. She's a real reader. She supports. So, you know, go ahead and talk to the author.
I would just want to know from each of you, okay, as Ms. Nene has stated, I'm an avid reader. So what would you say to me that would make me, even though I don't know you, like I've never really read any of your books, I've heard about you all, what would make me want to purchase Miss Destiny's book and or Mr. Ty's book?
Mm. Okay. Ladies first.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. basically, with my book, I reached a level because I don't have kids. So basically, I reached the level where I'm speaking to for every single woman out there. Ones that have kids who by themselves, one who have kids and they still have a man, but he's not doing anything. So, like, with my book, I just feel like if you want to read it, I would love for you to read it to see what kind of personality I bring out in my book. It's, like, totally different from, I can't say from everyone else's, but it's something that I know you will enjoy because I enjoyed writing it. And I'm not saying it just because I went through and read my book. And I'm not saying just as an author, but I'm saying as a reader myself, I know what I want to read in a book. If it has some good scenes in it or if it's speaking the truth, I love to read it.
Definitely. Go ahead, Ty.
I would just personally just tell you that it's refreshing. Like, if you're an avid reader, I'm sure you know, you read about every dope boy and every girl who's in love with the dope boy, and my book is just something different, and it's refreshing. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's everybody in my book is, you know, they black successful people, and they're doing something else outside of hustling, you know. But it's a refreshing book, and it's creative. It'll have you on the edge of your seat with all the plots and the twists and turns. If you like suspense and you like, you know, playing the guessing game when you read a book and you think you know what's going on, and then I switch it up on you, I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you don't like it, the next one's on me.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, no, that's right. Say, he ain't wasting no money.
All right.
Well, you don't tell the wrong person that.
Now, don't just,
they should be
now,
coming back every week talking about, I didn't like any of this stuff.
I didn't like that
one either.
Yeah, give me the fair shake. Don't say you ain't like it to get a free book.
No, she wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Thank you.
Well, I thank y'all, and I look forward to possibly reading both of y'all's books. Y'all have a blessed, positive, and productive rest of the evening.
Thank you, Miss
Stacey. Yes.
Thanks.
Good evening.
Thanks, Stacey.
All right. Go ahead, Miss Alicia. Take the floor.
Yes. Ty, I have a question because you don't just write books. You're actually a journalist as well. You write for a paper?
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been in the paper, but I ain't wrote one.
You don't? Oh.
No, I don't write in the paper. I'm not a journalist, not at all, man.
I've been in the paper. Well, what did you do? Why was you at the paper, Ty? I'm in your business now. I sent it all out here.
Somebody did a big article about him.
Oh, no, I was in the Examiner. I was in the Examiner. They did a write-up on me as one of the hottest new artists coming up. They said I'm, you know, might be the next great male author. You know,
wow.
Headline. You know, that's just sell papers. The readers would determine that.
Definitely. That's a good thing. Miss Tony?
Yes, I'm here. Ty and Destiny, thanks again for joining us in the clubhouse tonight. And I myself is an avid reader. And my favorite is Streetlit, I have to say. But I am open. I have been turned on to some great authors that have come through on the show. And I'm really excited about these two books that you guys are bringing to the table. So I can't wait for one click. You know, I love suspense because I'm always looking at crime stories on TV. So... your book sounds like I'm going to enjoy it. And Destiny, yours is different, but in a good way. You know, so I'm always open to these new genres and these new artists, so I'm looking forward to One Click, and I love One Click, as Nene will tell you.
Definitely. She does not play. If it was out, she'd have done Reddit by the time you got here. Go ahead.
Oh, that's beautiful. No, not to confuse anyone, I'm definitely a street lit writer. I just, with my first book, I just wanted to come out and I just wanted to challenge myself, really. I got some street stuff coming behind this, but I just really, this right here, I did it for the, you know, I did it for the culture, I did it for the art, like, because I heard Aaron speaking earlier, you know what I'm saying, it's really about the craft, you know what I'm saying, and I figured once I challenge myself to get better, like, I write every single day, like, I'm talking to y'all, I got my laptop sitting in front of me, like, I write every single day. So what I'm trying to make myself better as a writer, because it's easy, you know, we all from the same places, it just got a different title to your hometown, so we all go through a lot of the same things. So it's easy for me to pull those stories. You know, I got dudes doing fed time and homeboys that's dead, but I want to be able to tell those stories the right way. So I have to make my, you know, not just the regular, you know, just everyday. Oh, you read a lot of books that you feel like, oh, I read this before. It's just the names is different, the town is different. I really want to just be, I really want to perfect the craft. So when I do tell those stories, they hit, they impact. You know what I mean? They go, ooh, that's a moment. You know what I mean? That's a be more careful. That's a, you know, a Dutch. That's a true to the game. That's not just. You know, yeah, that's top book. You know what I mean? I want one of those.
Right. And that's what you should be striving to do. I think that you have a couple of street authors out there that have gotten themselves locked in to writing street literature, and now it's like they can't get outside of that. And you want to, as early as you can in your career, you want to show diversity, you know, to your pitch. Now, you don't want to jump all over the place, you know what I'm saying? One day you got vampires, the next week you got, you know what I'm saying?
No, I ain't going that far. I feel you, though. I'll be the Black Harry Potter.
Yeah, all that. It's everywhere. They don't know where to find you at. They don't know where to look for you. But, yeah, show diversity as early as you can so that you're not locked into one type of style. You're locked into a Thai style. Well, they know that no matter what you write, it's going to be good because it's a Thai story. It's you telling it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that right idea, you know, coming into this game like that. Go ahead.
I just want to say, as a reader, you know, that's true what Nene says. Is saying, you write every day. I actually read every single day. I don't know, for years ago. I'm always reading something. But if you come across an author that you just love their work, no matter what their pen spits out, you know that you're gonna, you know, as a true leader and as a true follower, you're gonna follow them. You know, they're gonna introduce you to things that you may not have been introduced to before, not even the way that you may like. So that's a great thing. As a reader, that's how I come. That's what I bring to the table.
That's good to know. Like, especially as a new author, you really want to speak to as many readers as you can. Like, you want as many reviews, bad, good, because you want to become better. Like, I don't say anything personal. You know, everybody affects. Everything affects a person a different way. Like, one person can read my book and be like, oh, I love this character. Another person can read the book and be like, oh, I hated that character. Or, I hate this book. Or you want to, you know what I mean? You want everybody to, you want everybody's opinion because it makes you a better writer.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And the bad reviews, to me, are the ones that are more valuable because you know you're gonna have your avid readers that no matter if you write, I say this all the time, E I E I O, they like, boy, she wrote that E I E I O, like they are dedicated to whatever you write.
It was the way
but
the
you
last
need that reader who checked your chin and says, hey, in chapter 5 you did this, so I didn't like the way you did that, so that you can reevaluate. You know what I'm saying? Even if you don't agree with the review, you have to reevaluate your work and try to say, okay, well, if someone is saying this about my work, how can I do it better the next time? Aaron?
I agree a lot with what y'all saying. I wrote my first, when I was writing my first street joint, I knew, like, honestly, I wasn't looking to write it for a street audience. Like, I was more trying to introduce it. The language I used in, inside the book was more Sidney Sheldon. Lawrence Sanders' presentation, but the content was street. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to hand my book to any reader without, without talking about the genre. Like, I don't want to have to be cutting through the fog explaining the genre to them. I want to be able to be like, yo, here's a book. And when they open it and start reading it, they see the way that I'm affecting language and just sit down somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I write. I always develop the characters because you don't know these people as a reader. Like, no matter how fast I start off, you don't know them. You have, your readable question later on. Reader get 20,000 words in and be like, yeah, but damn, he doing all this wild stuff. I know I will. I'll be like, he doing all this craziness. How did he get like this? Because if you just jump started me and he's at 19 already and he already been wilding and now at 20,000 words, this is 20th birthday and by this time he done did something crazy. So now I'm like, okay, well, what made him like this? You know what I mean? And that's what be missing. Like, it'd be a lot of simple things I see people complaining about now. Like, people be like, it'd be too many characters in books. I'd be like, you know why? Because people ain't reading no more. They're not following the story. Throughout life, you run into so many people daily. You know what I mean? Like, you go to a cookout, it'd be people you don't even know there, and you just be seeing them. So when you writing a book and this is going on, don't have me at the cookout with just these three main characters, y'all. I'm hot now. Like, for real, like, it's too much. Like, it's books that take you all over the world. You be done went on two or three different continents, met people that were speaking different languages, briefly, too. Just for, it might have been the person being there for 5 minutes trying to buy something from a stand in another country, and the author is showing the how the character is having a language barrier with the person to finally get what they want. You know, like, all of these elements are important because these are the things I saw reading. When I was reading, I was seeing these type of things. That's what helped me recognize author's signatures. That's why I knew Stephen King from a Dean Koontz. They both write horror, but I knew the signatures because of the way that they presented the language and the way they executed. Like, it's not really happening like that no more.
Yes, you're right.
That's so true.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, that's so true, because I always talk about Silence of the Nine. And y'all know, T. Stiles is the sweetest, but her book sometimes, her twisted facts would be too much for me. So Silence of the Nine was really twisted, but I enjoyed it. And I love how she put multiple genres in her book. Like, she put a little street lit in there. She took you to Africa. She put some contemporary in there. She put some erotic in there. Then she got the twisted as well, or the dark fantasy. So I just love, and she's not the only author that do it. You know, there are a lot of authors that, even though they write street lit or they might write contemporary, they can put multiple genres in their books. They can, they give you a little sample of everything. They can take you to London and bring you back. They can take you to other cities and states, you know. So that's the best thing when you're reading a good book as a reader, because you, not only are you reading for the enjoyment and you're enjoying what you're reading, but you're also learning at the same time. You know, you're learning someone else's culture and how other people do things.
Please have a point, authors. Like, authors, please have a point, writers, when you write. Have a point. For real, because what are you writing for? Like, to get to the end, there has to be a point.
Yes.
So get to the, like, have a point, man. Don't just be writing recklessly, like, this is all the stuff that be going on in the street. And your book, your novel turns out like a collage of just, like, different instances of you talking with your homeboy, your homegirl, and it's not really language. It might sell real quick, real fast for a couple of weeks or whatever. You might look hot on Facebook. But that, what people are doing now, they're doing something that has never been done before, and they're putting expiration dates on books in urban fiction, y'all, by the way they're writing.
Wow.
These books are not traveling, are not going to be taken on. You see how Donald Goins could still be here right now? Timeless.
Yes.
No expiration date on the book. These books now, that most, a majority of them that are being put out, have an expiration date on them of 6 to 8 weeks life span.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keeping it real. And this is fact. People could try to lie and try to shift and jerk the numbers around. I do this. I do it on a personal publishing, self-publishing level, and I have a publisher. I see both sides of it. I ain't none of this part. There ain't none of this missing to me.
Definitely. Definitely. That's right, Aaron. You got a very valid point. And we have a caller that just clicked in who's ready to weigh in and probably talk to our fabulous office. Let's let that caller in and we can get right back to our subject, corner, pocket, corner, hustle. Other way around. 937. Bring them in.
Yeah, I see them. I got them.
Okay.
They're in. I thought that was Stacy again.
Was it?
It is.
Oh, they don't let me do the phone numbers and stuff, Stacy. If that's true, I'm sorry. My bad. We're going to put you back on the hold. They don't let me do the phone numbers. My bad.
Okay.
I put my other hat on. Sorry. Sorry, my bad.
And it's funny because before Destiny said she didn't have any kids, I read that book. I would have swore she had some kids. but because she wrote it and it was so real, it was like, only a mama would know that. Gone, girl. Yes, talk about it. And then she's like, oh, I won. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any?
Wow, that's powerful. So, Miss Destiny, how do you feel about our subject talking about corner, pocket, corner, hustle?
It's a true topic. Like, I look at it as my career is not just a hustle. It's what I want it to be, a career. And I was sitting here listening, and I agree with everything, like the ratings, everything. Because since my book's been out, I have gotten some nasty reviews. But I don't look at it as if it's a problem. I look at it as a thank you, because it made me know exactly what to write on my second book and how to make it even more better. So that way when they read the second book, they'd be like, wow, she took my advice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I look at it as a positive note.
Mm-hmm. You got to take the constructive criticism. You got to be able to discern what's for you and what's not, you know what I mean, and take what's for you and what's not. Like, you know, every read ain't for everybody also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as somebody's saying something valid, you take that. You know, it's one to grow on. We constantly growing in this business. Literature is expanding every day. Languages is changing everything. So there's no way that any of us has mastered the art of this bastard language, English, anyway. So it's right off the rip. You got to be growing constantly. When I was young, when in school, you wrote a lot, you wrote it together, A-L-O-T. Now it's separate. If you put it together, you're misspelling it. You feel me? Like, is it? So the language is changing constantly. You got to be staying in tune with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
absolutely right.
Studying your craft. Got to be studying your craft and knowing the language and how to affect, you know, grammar and different things.
Definitely. So, Ty, let me ask you, from, you know, being new in the industry, you know, how do you feel about the movement and what you see with marketing? You know, are a lot of authors, you think, are they stuck in that corner mentality, or are they trying to definitely corner the market? How you feel about that?
I feel it's a mix. It's a mixed bag. Like, I don't want to, you know, put everybody into the same category, but you see a lot of both. You see a lot of, you know, the corner mentality. Because you see, if you I'm sure y'all on Facebook every day, you see the author beef. You see, you know what I mean? You see them beefing over corners in the internet streets. You know, they beefing over corners in the internet streets.
Right.
You know, and so a lot of people are still stuck in that. But what they don't understand is it's about the urban fiction game. Like, if one person is winning, like, for instance, Nene, if you winning, you open up a door for the next person to come in. But if I try to tear you down, once nobody in this game is winning, they're going to shut the game down. Like how Aaron was just saying, as far as they putting expiration dates on these books. Like,
yeah.
if nobody's here to carry this game to the next generation can pick it up, then it's going to end. They waiting for us. They going to watch us smash ourselves out. You know, it's kind of like music. It's kind of like music. You know, being from New York and living in the South, you know, you always get that, music is dead, New York music is dead, or you hear New York people say, oh, I don't like this new music. Oh, I wish New York get back popping. But one thing I always learned was, as long as it was a time when the West Coast was popping and New York wasn't popping.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time when New York was popping and the West and the South wasn't popping. It's a time when the South was popping and nobody. As long as one region is doing it, the game
mm-hmm.
will survive until that next region can build themselves up. So I would never, you know, I that corner mentality of trying to, oh, can't nobody hustle on my block, that's good to a sense, but you still want everybody to be able to eat, because as long as one person is eating, they make it for where we can all eat. You know what I'm saying? You can carry this game. At the
mm-hmm.
end of the day, I feel like a lot of these new authors, and I'm a new author, and I watched. That was one thing before I got in the I sat and I joined the groups, and I was in all these different groups. I seen Treasure Blue talking and all these different people, and I would always ask questions, because it seemed to me a lot of the new authors jump in this game as a hustle. It's a hustle. It's a quick hustle. You see books on Amazon, 99 cents, no editing, nothing. It's a hustle. Like
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, like it's a quick flip. Let me just flip, and it's not really about that to me. I don't hustle. You know what I mean? I'm doing this because I don't want to hustle. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to hustle. I want a legal hustle. Like in the beginning of my book, in the beginning of Eat, Pray, No Love, it's a quote I said, every hustler dreams of the day he no longer has to risk his freedom to feed his family.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
anybody who tells you different is
mm-hmm.
either lying to you or they're lying to themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
that's the quote in the beginning of my book. Like, so that's my
mm-hmm.
end game. Like, you can't, that's my corner pocket. That's the end game. Like, this is my new career. Like, I'm not selling crack to buy more crack. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm selling, that's not what I'm doing. I'm, you know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm selling books to move on and build my brand into something bigger. You know what I mean? So my name is my brand. So I never want nothing bad attached to my name, whether it be a book, whether you see me beefing on it. I'm not doing none of that because my name is my brand. Before there's an aisle, before there's anything, I'm Ty Marshall. So you know
right.
what I mean? So I want people to always realize that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's my end game. My end game is to build my brand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So and I ain't even gonna lie. That's another reason why I love being on Al, because that's the Quavis' mentality as well. Like, me and him talk a lot on the phone, and we kick it a lot. You know what I mean? And a lot of my ideas that I have for my career is a lot of stuff that he's doing with his career. And so me and him, we just, you know, like minds, we just talk and we build. And sometimes we stay on the phone and kick it. It don't even be about no books. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? It's about business and life. And so I love, you know what I'm saying, that like that. And I like being around people that like getting money. So that's what I'm about. That's
definitely.
My corner pocket.
Yeah, definitely.
All corner pocket. Go ahead, Alicia.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm glad that he talked about that because, you know, a lot of authors, and like he's correct, they come out and they say, okay, well, I'm going to write a story because I just want to make some money. But, you know, branding and marketing is like the number one thing on that list. You've got to be able to market what you have, and you got
mm-hmm.
to protect your brand at the same time. And I'm glad that he spoke on, like, the life he had before, because evolution is part of that. You might have been in the streets and in the game and doing that, but everything you learned there, you can take that and evaluate and elevate yourself with it and use that in your next plan. You could build you a whole
right.
new business just with certain things that you may have learned, you know, as far
mm-hmm.
as business-wise. And so I love to hear you speak, and I love your mind. My question is to both of you, and I know Destiny had already said she tried to self-publishing, but do either of you plan on in the future being a publisher? Or Destiny to try it again down the line?
Yeah, I actually do want to open up my own publishing company because I just feel like being that my publisher gave me the opportunity, I definitely want to give somebody else the opportunity to do what I love to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's great.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Right.
And that's something I would definitely look into somewhere down the future, but I don't want to ruin nobody's career, so I got a lot of learning to do. So that's
yes.
something – you know what I mean? So that's something
mm-hmm.
way in the future for me. I'm just trying to grab this one thing, this writing thing, and I'm trying to perfect that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Instead of trying to spread myself so thin, and you know what I mean? I just want to perfect one thing, and then you know, when that time comes, that's definitely something I would look into.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I say, you know, that's a good thing, you know, for you both. However, I definitely advise you to, you know, study your craft as much as possible, whether it's your writing craft or it's your publishing craft. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Have it all under your belt and have yourself and, you know, the company as a whole well-branded, you know, before mm-hmm. you put the first author out there, because you'll be definitely doing them a disservice if you don't understand how royalties work, how contracts work, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. when payouts are, you know what I'm saying, where to promote them at besides Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. how to get your work everywhere, because that's what you want to do. I mean, you want to get yourself everywhere so that your authors will have a great platform to stand on when you put them out there. So,
exactly.
you know, take your time. Like you said, get your pen, you know, as hot as you can get it. Make your brand as strong as you can make it. And then if you can help somebody, you know, you help them. Because when the plane goes down, it always say, grab the mask and help yourself first, and then you help your neighbor. So. You know,
yeah.
When the opportunity gets shaky, you want to be able to, you know what I'm saying, pull yourself up out of it. So definitely study.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mhm. Definitely. Aaron?
No, I'm on the same thing. Everything everybody's saying is true, man. Like, especially like what Ty was saying about the game, man. Like, people don't understand. You keep playing games, it's not going to be here for nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, If people don't just start being more, you know, into putting structure and building a solid community outside of any trends or any fakeness. As far as when I say fakeness, I don't mean how a person is, because you can't call a person fake on their personality, because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say fakeness, I mean like. Allowing things to go on that's going to affect the industry as a whole. Like,
yeah.
Personal effects shouldn't even matter. We got to start really thinking about a bigger picture. I was sitting back thinking about this today, yo. I don't know no other job in America or anywhere where 10 years ago the employees was getting paid $15 and now they only getting 99 cents. Come on, that don't really make no sense, yo.
Mm.
I can't think of no other job in the history, yo, of America where that happened. You know what I mean? So, obviously, something's wrong with our structure. We have to get back tight. We have to stop letting, no disrespect to the readers, but we can't let the readers dictate this. We do appreciate the readers. We love the readers. We need them. But this is a business, and the readers know. Well, some of them know how this operates. Like, it's real. In order for the books to come, there needs to be money. Like,
yeah.
You can't get the book without money.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it has to be some structure, man. Without no – there's another thing, too. I'm just stating obvious facts. Another thing, there's no other business in the world that operates without any market control, y'all. None. Uh-huh. Can nobody name me one business that operates without market control? This thing we got going on over here, ain't no market control in it, but it's not operating like a business either.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, half the companies out there have unions and different
exactly.
things to protect the brand, to protect, you know, the quality of work. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, we don't have that. It's like we're all in here, and everybody's trying to do what they can to get ahead. But sometimes some of the stuff that you do is so unorthodox till, like you're saying, it can diminish what it is that we're trying to do. And it's definitely a great movement. You know, it's a great movement.
Yeah.
You still have corporate execs who are baffled at what the heck are they doing over there? Like, how are they doing this? What's going on? And they're baffled. They don't know what to do with urban fiction. It's a great, great gift.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. We gotta be protecting that at all costs. Like, even more for the point of just our kids, too. Like seriously, man, you know how many men I came in contact with in prison that couldn't read or write, can't contact their family? Like, that's serious. So we need to really be doing that. We need to be passing on these traditions of reading to our kids. I started reading because I used to come home from school and I'm walking out, so I see my mom's with a face stuffed in Alice Walker.
That was my
influence right there. Walking through the door, I'm seeing my mom's. I'm like, okay, reading is something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nobody didn't have to tell me. Like, I just picked up on it. You know, like, we got to bring that back, man. We got to stop sharing these videos of us beating ourselves up and all the other craziness. That's only going to kill us in courts later. These people in these courts don't know us. They're going to look and see all the stuff we doing online, all the foolishness, and that's how they're going to judge us as a whole. So now when you go before them, only thing they know is these videos. Like, yo, these people are senseless. They be jumping on each other. This is crazy. We have to stop being a part of that. We have to stop perpetuating that. And when people like me start talking about it, people got to stop throwing tomatoes at them. Like, it's real. Mm-hmm. People don't like to hear the truth, but it is what it is, man.
Absolutely. That is true. That's beyond true because, you know, we already write books that depict murder and death without consequences and certain things. And, you know, when you see that and then you see action, it seems like it's everybody as a whole. Like, it's a whole unit that's just crazy.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. We
seem like animals to them people.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that's how they're going to judge us. Like, they don't, they're going to be like, yo, these people, it seems like we relish in those type of behaviors. I'm sharing it to your page, you sharing it to mine. We got to laugh out loud over top of it. Oh, you got to see this. Like, nobody is, and then in the process of these videos, we doing that, but then what is being depicted on these videos is even crazier because it shows no love nowhere. Like, when I was growing up, nobody was doing that. Kids would stop that in a minute. Like, yo, you ain't about to jump on this old lady. Like, get out of here. I mean, as kids, we would do that. Like, now these kids have no regulation whatsoever. They'll jump on old people out there filming it with their cameras, laughing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy.
That falls on the generation before them. Because
you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not shown better, then you ain't gonna know better. When your mom is twerking, you twerking. You know what I mean? When you going to visit your pops on the island, you know what I mean? That seems like a man to you. That's what a man does. Now, a man take care of his family. You know what I'm saying? A man at home at night. You know what I'm saying? When your kids wake up in the morning, you who they see. So it's a lot. It falls on the generation before. Like, so the younger kids that we see now, that falls on us. Like, you know, you're supposed to, like, I got kids, you know what I'm saying? So I try to teach my, you know what I'm saying, my kids to do right. And, you know, I kick it to them real, because that's how my mom kicked it to me. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't going to be perfect in life, and you ain't going to, you know what I'm saying, you ain't going to just go down a straight path. But I try to tell my kids, don't make life-altering decisions. You know what I mean? Don't make a life-altering mistake. Don't make a mistake that you can't come back from. And that's what these kids is doing, putting themselves on the internet and doing, that's who you are. Once that's your public image, that's what I'm talking about, protecting your brand, protecting your name. I tell my kids all the time, yo, your last name belongs to me. So, you know what I mean? So when you out there in the streets acting foolish, you throwing dirt on my name. So you got to carry that name. I tell my sons that, I tell my daughters that. You know what I mean? So that's what these kids admit. It's on us, really. You know what I mean? Sometimes I see this stuff and I just shake my head and I go, like, my son, you know, I got a 16-year-old son, and I notice how when his friends are at the house, they gravitate towards me. Everybody, yo, pop. And I'm looking like, damn, you know, I'm young. Like, I'm like, dang, all these young kids call me pop. You know what I'm saying? But I understand, because it's rare that it's a father in the house. So they come to my house, and sometimes I sit back and I just smile, because I see the lessons that I pass to my son. I might be in the next room and hear him kicking it to his boys. And I'll be laughing, like, and they looking at him like, oh, yeah, you smart. And I'm like, yo, that's something I kicked to him. But it's good that he, you know, sometimes you don't think that he's listening. But he is listening, and he's passing it on to his friends. And the one thing I try to do when he brings his friends around me, I try to influence them as well. Because one thing, you can't be around your child 24/7. So if you can influence the people that he hangs with, then it's almost like you parenting him when he's not around you too. Because if I can influence his friends, they're gonna think like I want him to think. So when they all out, they all acting the same. You know what I mean? So that also goes into parenting too. So when a kid is in my house, I try to, you know, I try to make sure he leaves my house with a little bit of knowledge that I would give my son. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never look at it like, oh, that ain't my business. Let his mom handle that. Or, you know what I mean? You don't know what's going on in that kid's house. And you don't know what you can, you know, just sit down and talk to them and kick it to them. You don't know what you can do and affect that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
Keisha, our caller, Keisha, who calls in to the show very frequently, that is one of her main things that she says. She has to parent her kids' friends. And you can't just say, all right, they out with so-and-so. Like, you have to be able to talk to them and get in with them. And that is what has those long-lasting relationships in your mind. When you're able to go to your boy house, like his mom is in her older years, and you can still embrace her because she embraced you, and she said something to you at a time in your life that it stuck with you. It's not what your mother or father said, and she might have said the same thing that they said, but the way she said it was totally different. So, yeah, you
sometimes
definitely have to do that.
Yeah, I noticed as a kid, sometimes, like you said, it's the person who shouldn't care about you that can tell you something that you'll listen to because you go, well, my mom only telling me that because she want me to do what she want to do. And it's a person who has no attachment to you. When you hear the same thing like you said, you'll be willing to listen to it because you're like, man, that person they saying the same thing my mom said, and they ain't even, you know, they ain't got no invested interest in me. And so you might think like that. Mom's is probably right what she's saying then. You know what I mean?
Definitely. We got a caller coming in. Aaron, do you see that caller with their hand raising? Want to get them in here? The clubhouse to speak to these wonderful authors. What am I just saying? They don't let
me
handle.
Who you see? Because I see the same person.
Same person. Tony's over here telling me that people have got their hand raised. I'm not listening to you no more tonight, Tony. That is your last.
But people do need to raise their hands though, because we got these books to give out.
Definitely.
Tony
said
her hand is raised, Mimi.
Oh, her hand is raised.
My
bad. Raised. Oh, okay. You said hand raised. I'm like, well, where's the hand raised at?
They rigging it.
Then they set me up over here, Ty. You see what I have to put up with around here?
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Mercy. Go ahead, Miss Tony.
Boss lady, put me on blast on national radio.
Literally, right?
Yes. All I did was want to ask Miss Destiny a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Destiny, I just wanted to ask you how you created and developed your characters and the whole concept of your book without being a parent and just make it seem so real.
Well, I guess looking at it, because I'm a very observant person. Like, I think it's everything that I see. So being raised with my mom, with my adoptive parents, and then seeing how my mom was as a mother and how she cared for us so much, I thought that's how every mother was going to be or how every situation was going to be, like my house, and it wasn't. So it was like when I seen it, it put me in a position like this is something I would never want my kids to go through if I ever have kids. So being the sad things that my cousins went through, I was like, you know what? That's a perfect topic because I know there's people out there that's going through exactly what my characters are going through. And I just put myself into my frame. If that was me, would I want my child to go through that? So I have to literally place myself as a mother to write this book.
Definitely. That's powerful, you know, and wanting to display that is even more powerful because you have a youth out here that are really losing out. You know, they're losing. They're definitely losing. And for them, you don't know whose hand that's going to fall in, you know, which teenager. We have a large audience of teens and troubled, you know, a lot of troubled youth that read urban fiction, and you never know what you're going to give to them and what type of message you're going to share. So it's good to definitely let them hear your story so that they can see, you know, where they fit into it. That's powerful. Aaron?
Yeah, man. I mean, got to be looking at everything goes back to the kids. I mean, like, they next up. And like Ty was saying, I'll be saying that all the time. Like, these are our kids that's out there doing this craziness.
Yeah.
Because of the things that we were doing. Like, I say that all the time. And that's why now parents need to stop playing. You know, had your fun. It's time to go ahead and tighten up and go ahead and do the right thing. And don't be just letting this next generation slip away, man.
Definitely.
And especially with the literature. The literature is the most important thing, yo. the reading and comprehension is the key to opening all other doors in life. If you could read and comprehend, then can't nobody keep you out of nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. My mother taught me how to read at 3. I don't remember not being able to read. And it just opens up a whole different world for you. Like, I can remember being so small, I could answer every question. Like, my daughter started talking young because of my mom. I started teaching her how to talk at 6 months. She started talking. And we would go to the doctors, and she was like 8 and 9 months. They say, well, what's her name? And she would answer the question. Like, that baby talk? I'm like, yeah, don't yours? You know, I couldn't believe that other babies weren't talking as well after I saw what I could teach her, because I knew that words would be everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was how she would be able to communicate and understand the world, you know? And I can remember sitting with her as a small baby, and every day I would put her hand on my mouth, and I would make the sounds. I would hum, trying to teach her how to say mommy, and I was like, ma. You know, I would do phonetics, which is missing in our society. And that's one of the greatest gifts I could have gave her, the gift of speech and reading and comprehension, because she can move through the world. She can go anywhere, you know, and
anywhere,
be able to comprehend. Yes.
Anywhere.
So, yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, I'm telling you, one time, it's no lie, man, I got accepted for this job. I was playing around online, and I had filled out a job for, like, the Ford Corporation, like, in one of their executive offices, playing around. And the dude called me, right? Like, yeah, so I'm sitting there, I'm talking to him. After I seen how serious he was, like, he's talking about flying me out, and he like, yo, we got the company house, are you going to be able to stay there till you're... And I'm like, yo, I can't lie. I'm like, yo, I got a felony. I can't really take the job. I was just, you know, I ain't think nobody was ever even going to reach back out to me or nothing. Yo, no bull. I had articulated to this guy so well for like 30 minutes before I told him I was a felon. He spent another 40 minutes on the phone with me trying to figure out how he could get me to come work for the company still. Like, for real, like, you got to be able to know how to, you know, speak and be able to deal with different language, like, different people. Like somebody was just taking a course in college. They had got the language. It was like language and world religion or whatever it was. I was like, I don't know why the hell I got to take this. And I'm like, yo, because other people out in the world are from different parts and different traditions and cultures. So when you go out into the world of business, you need to be able to be familiar with everybody's traditions and cultures in case somebody from India comes over and wants to do a business deal.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you're familiar with how to treat them when they get there. Oh, they like to eat this. This is the type of restaurant I need to take them to. These are their customs. You need to know that you got to have know-how in this world to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And tonight is a special, special edition of Right and Royalty Radio on a Wednesday evening. We in the clubhouse.
We have a caller now.
We got a caller? All right, go ahead. Sure you do. Now you tell me. In the middle of my Ryan Rose defeat.
They came
who does
right
that?
In.
Who does
now,
that?
You know, we got to get the callers right away. We don't like leaving our callers. I'd be getting called out.
Still, I was 570. Clearly.
570-540. You are
hello.
Live.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Keisha.
Hey,
what's up,
Keisha?
Oh, Aaron, you on the roll. I'm loving the show. You dropping so much knowledge. Go ahead.
No, it's not
making
just
me proud
all
over here.
Thank
I'm like
you.
Listening to this.
Okay.
Because you made some really good things. When you were saying having to know how, that's true. I was watching a movie, and one of the movies, the guy was saying, you got to know, because we're working with India, some guys, you can't bring a woman in the room and talk business.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to walk out. So that
because
is true what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely true what you're saying. I want my free books, so I got my hand raised.
you did
raise my hand. I'm not going to lie. I said free, and I said, oh, it's for me. Let me go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know you got to put your email address in Lisa's
it's there.
Inbox.
It's there.
Keisha is done playing around. She's like, I did
it first. I already did that. It's up there.
I
got to put my kids emailed in just in case.
Real quick.
Thank you, Ms. Keisha. Did you have any questions or concerns?
No, I love the show. It's a really good show. A lot of good information.
Thank you.
Thank Go ahead and finish talking so I can finish listening.
Okay. Thank you, Keith, for putting back in the queue.
Yes, thank you for calling in.
Tonight we're talking about corner hustle, corner pockets, you know, being able to rise above that lowly mentality and be able to make your pockets reflect as such. Aaron, go ahead and play that clip so we can get the next phase of this conversation going, that guns and butter.
Yes, indeed.
You've been trying to psych me out, talking about you killing all. Old school nigga. You don't want us to have to put that heat on his ass, Billy B.
You want me to take him out?
Nah. Let the nigga breathe. He make my mom unhappy. He make his ass bleed. On the real. Make him feel the steel. As long as she happy, he got his life. Won't be no strife. And I hope his ass hear me too, nigga.
I hear you. You know the problem with you little niggas? You think you know everything about the damn world, and you don't know shit. Now, I see you got yourself a little business going. Well, that's good. That's good. You make that paper. But when you're making paper, you got to learn some rules to go with it. You got to learn the difference between guns and butter. There are two type of niggas in this world. There are niggas with guns and niggas with butter. Now, what are the guns? The guns, that's the real estate. The stocks and bonds. Artwork. You know, shit that appreciates with value. What's the butter? Cars, clothes, jewelry, all that other bullshit that don't mean shit after you buy it. That's what it's all about. Guns and butter, baby. Little dumb motherfuckers.
I love it. I love it. I love that clip from Baby Boy. I mean, he was dropping, you know, some serious, serious science on them young brothers. They had it twisted, you know, all the way around. They learned some very good lessons. And it showed the transformation of, you know, a man going from a boy into a man. You know what I'm saying? The different levels that you take. When you're traveling on that journey, Aaron?
Yeah, definitely, you know, guns and butter, baby. You got to have them houses. Nah, for real. Nah, you know what? I think I grasped the concept. I was in a sociology class, and my sociology professor was talking about the difference between the male and the female and their modes of operation and thinking. Like, mm-hmm. like, yo, you know, most women between 17 and 25, they planning out the rest of their life. Like, they think about core things, like when they want to be married, when they want to have their children, what type of career they want to have. And he was like, most men during that period, they're just sitting around still having fun, playing games. And boom, and I started thinking about that shit, and I was like, yo, he is right. Because I was young, I was like 22. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, and I really grasped the concept of the guns and butter right there. Like, yo, you know, you got to start doing things that matter, getting to the things that matter early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ty.
Yeah, I just was agreeing with what he's saying. He's absolutely right. That's one of the, you know, that's why everybody loves that movie. Like, it's a real good movie. It speaks volumes to what we going through right now with the young kids. That Baby Boy movie is a great movie. I mean, everybody probably tired of it because BET show it every 2 days. But, you know, but the concept of that movie was a great concept. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And that's actually what we going through now. And Melvin was definitely dropping knowledge on people, you know.
Yeah.
Because
definitely.
It's like Kanye saying, like, we the new slaves. Like, everybody, whips and chains. That's what everybody want. New whips, new chains. Like, that don't mean, none of that stuff means nothing. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff means nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's the butter. You know what I mean? That's right. None of that means anything. So, Aaron's right, and Melvin's right. But I would have bust Melvin's head. He wouldn't have been jumping through my house doing no African squat thrust with my mother. Keep that on it.
Ain't about that life would not be about that life.
Yeah, man.
Melvin was not playing. He had the Kool-Aid.
Melvin wasn't playing. Oh, he was wilding out.
No one needs to see that. No one needs to see you doing any of that.
You can't have no Melvin around if your son's got potential to be a punk, because that might turn him right to the other side right there, seeing that. Because he'll know it's wrong and know he can't do nothing. He'll be like, forget it. I'm going on the other side.
Do we have any callers in the queue before we continue?
We have one call in the queue.
Okay, let's bring the caller.
302-300, mm-hmm. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royal crew. Who are we speaking with?
Maybe they're shy. Maybe they went 302? Down the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just want to listen. Put them back in the queue.
They probably wanted that book, but then they decided not to say nothing.
They got nervous. Aaron's voice be getting people nervous. They don't know what to do.
That's not me. I wish it was like that. It's definitely not me. It was wide open. They just pressed it.
Don't press it again? I don't know. They don't tell me nothing. Well, go ahead. Continue on. Miss Tony?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on what Ty and Zebo had said earlier about the literacy. You know, me and my kids, we have library cards where mm-hmm. we live and also where my mom lives, because I've always had a book in my hand. And like Zebo, my kids have always seen me with a book in my hand. And some of the most fun times we had is in a library. It's like it opens up a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's so important to just keep that literacy door open, because a child learns as they see, as we've always said. And if you teach your child at an early age to read, you're just making it so much easier for them as they grow and go into the world that they can pretty much be in that library. So libraries, even though they are all closing these days and bookstores, mm-hmm. it is still key, you know. And I renew my library card every time it's due. And that's mm-hmm. just a special thing from the past that a lot of people don't even speak of these days, a library card. Mm-hmm. You know, not many people actually have a library card. We actually have two in two different counties. Because that's how much we love to read.
Definitely.
I do too, Tony. Stop trying
yes,
to be like
too.
Me. We got
I love
a caller. We
okay.
got a caller. Another caller. 202-487. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew. Who are we speaking with? Ty Marshall and Destiny is on the line as well. I apologize.
Hello, everybody. This is Rita King.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
Hey,
hi,
how
Rita.
You doing, Miss King?
King's is here.
Rita,
King's
Rita,
is
Rita.
Here.
How's everybody
Hello,
going? What's going on, Mr. and Mrs.? Yeah, you know I came on here to talk some trash to Mr. Ty, but I ain't going to burst him on the show tonight.
Oh,
he already know what's up.
Yeah, I know. I already know.
Showing y'all some love tonight. I was listening to the show. I came in a little late, so I just wanted to say hello, and y'all can cue me out so I can get more information on. I just heard a little bit about literary and library stuff, so I didn't know exactly what the show was about
mm-hmm.
in detail.
Well, we thank you for calling in. We got some books we're giving out. Please put your email address in Leisha's inbox, so we can get you some of these great reads that are hitting the stands in the next couple of days.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, thank
okay.
you so much for the
thank
support.
You.
Yes,
yes,
and give,
thank you, Ms.
give the king of the house our love. We know he's right over there with a book in his hand, just like you got one of yours. And we all the support.
Yes, he actually is, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
we
you
know,
so
we're
much.
Trying to get rid of, we're trying to break down these Harlem books there, but it's just, we don't know where to start at, so we're just picking up as we go.
Well, I guess so. Y'all got 50. That was just last week. I know y'all need a minute.
Yes, we show everybody love. Ain't no prejudice to nobody.
Yes, yes, and we appreciate that, because every year, you and your husband come out and you guys show love at every event. You get a book from almost every vendor, if not every vendor, and then you make sure you come home and take pictures and show the readers, you know, definitely. I mean, the authors, they get their praise because they were there, but the readers get to see what's new, what's hot, and how you supposed to come out and support authors. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Come out, get them paperbacks, sign paperbacks.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we thank you.
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Rita yet, but I have the pleasure of speaking with her frequently on Facebook, and I can't wait to meet her. That's my buddy. You know, that's my buddy.
I'll meet you on 95, baby. What else would you want to get off at? Ain't no problem.
I mean,
ain't no thing but a chicken wing and some gays.
She's definitely a great supporter, and you know what I mean. She's always active in the groups and everything. She's real good people.
Definitely,
thank you.
Yes, and we thank her for that. Yep, and thank you for calling in. We're gonna get you some of these hot reads. We're doing giveaways and get you some more things to add to your collection.
All righty. You said who that inbox? Lisha.
Alicia.
Oh, okay. Hi, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm being rude.
Rita,
hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Tell Mr. King I said hey.
I will. Thank you, guys. Y'all have
yes,
a good evening.
Yes, thank you for the support.
You too. Yes. Have a good evening.
All right.
Thanks, Rita.
I'll let you tonight.
I already know.
Let's go to. Let's get 302 again, see if they're ready. 302-300?
No.
Okay, well, we got somebody else. We have 803-236. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew, Ty Marshall, and Destiny.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Ty, this is Ashley, Ash Kardash. Show us
some love. Ash Kardash, how you doing?
What did you
do? What's going on?
Nothing, just called in to show some love.
You know, I always appreciate it.
Can't wait for the book to drop. Definitely in on that. Going to cop that as soon as it hits Amazon.
I appreciate it. I truly do. I appreciate everybody taking the risk on me as a new author. I promise y'all won't be disappointed.
All right.
Yeah.
Good thing.
I believe I can hear it in his voice.
Yes, I do too. I think they're going to enjoy it.
I think so too.
Well, thank you for calling in, Miss Ashley. If you could please head over to Leisha Sadler's inbox and drop your email address in there so we can get you a book, because we're doing giveaways of some great reads that's coming out this week. And we want to get something in your library. So please hit it up and drop it in that box so we can get something over there to you. And we appreciate you calling and supporting the authors.
Yes,
all
we
right.
do.
Yeah,
and please try to tune into the shows on Wednesdays. We be on from 7 to 9. We be having a lot of good authors and good topics on here.
All right, I will do.
Thank you very much.
You too. Thanks for calling.
We got another caller. They done playing around. 857-204. Good evening. You are live with the Writing Royalty Crew, Ty and Destiny. Who are we speaking with?
857? They distracted.
I don't know. Their mic is open. I heard them for a second, and then they kind of went out. 857-204, going once, twice.
And twice. Three times a lady. Hit that button.
All right, back to live action. Back to live action, ladies and gentlemen.
They must be showing replays of Love and Hip Hop or something. Anybody watch?
Yeah, they got caught up. They trying to get the free book and see if Beanie, if our dude neck going to grow an inch or two.
Yeah. Stevie. They trying to see Stevie in them.
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
I ain't gonna lie, yo. I love the tag name Sleeves. Sleeves. The first time they called them Sleeves, I lost it. Like, yo, that's kind of hot.
Yo, it fits him too.
Yes, it does.
It fits him.
Oh man, I was like, y'all gotta find me a friend I could call Sleeves in public. And it still be kind of cool. When you around a group of chicks, and you just like, come on, sleaze. And it works.
Yeah,
everybody don't start looking down. For real, you don't want to be with sleaze and people start looking down at his footwear like, oh, yeah, like, why'd they bring him?
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
I have a question for Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tony. Is A Black Woman Scorned, is that your only book out as of now?
Yes, ma'am, until A Hustler's Love drop on the 22nd.
Okay. Well, they're going to be looking forward to that. So definitely, guys, make sure you get over there and one click. These wonderful, wonderful authors. It's phenomenal to see their energy and their spirit. Can't wait to meet them in person. Get at a book signing, stand next to them. This is the Writing Royalty crew in the clubhouse this evening. We're doing a special Wednesday night edition. We're talking about corner hustle, corner pockets, cornering the market, or just cornering a little portion. You know, we're talking about that. We got the director with the pen, Aaron Bebo, the fabulous Miss Tony, Miss Leisha. I am Nene Capri. We have Ty Marshall and Miss Destiny in the clubhouse. They're out of Owl and Leo Sullivan's camp, and we can't wait to see what they put in the literary game. Ty, is there anything that you want the readers to know about your work and anything you have up and coming in the event?
I just want them to know that it comes out Friday, which hopefully is midnight Thursday, you know. Get on the internet line, everybody line up, you know what I mean? Like, and just one click away, just give me a chance. Trust me, you won't be disappointed at all. I mean, I really think that people are going to appreciate it. And, you know, follow me on Facebook. I talk to everybody. Y'all can hit me up. As you see, people calling in, they know me already on Facebook, Ty Marshall, Real Ty Marshall on Instagram, and _ Ty Marshall on Twitter. Just hit me up, follow me. You know.
Definitely.
Let the story begin.
Yes, let it go. Miss Destiny.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you have out? What do you have coming? What can they look forward to?
Right now, Black Woman Scoring is still available on Amazon. Go ahead, one click, leave your review. I'm dying to know what you think about this one. I also have a hot new banger coming out on the 22nd, of Hustler's Love, which is totally different from A Black Woman Scoring. And I'm also now working on, to a surprise, I'm working on part two to A Hustler's Love. So I guarantee you, if you think number one when it come out is bad, you have no idea where I'm about to go with number two.
They don't know what you're trained to do.
No, ma'am. They have no idea.
That's what's up. And that's a good thing. And we thank you, you know, for coming out and sharing your journey with us, you know, personal portions of your life and your spirit, you know, helping educate our listeners, you know, sharing, you know, real talk. We like to have real talk in the clubhouse. We talk about books and literature, but there's so many things that got us to this point of writing that, you know, people need to know and hear that we're not just urban fiction. You know, people have degrees. You know, people are educated. You know, we may have things in our books that may appear ratchet or whatever it is that, you know, people say urban fiction is, but the authors are phenomenal individuals, and it's good that we can have you in here and let the, you know, let the reader see the whole other side of you. So we definitely thank you for taking the invitation. Aaron, you got anything?
No, I just want to thank them for coming out. I definitely think that I definitely got a lot of confidence in Ty, because he got so much confidence. When a writer speaks a certain way, like, you just know. So I really feel like he gonna do good, and he done brought it to the people. And Destiny, I definitely want to commend her for coming in, doing her thing, and then having the goal to switch speeds and just go in another direction, even though, you know, that ain't, you know, what she's about. She went and took a step forward, and I think she's going to do well, too, because she said she learned along the process of her first book before she went into the second one. So, you know, whenever you're taking growth and education with you, you can't fail.
Right. Definitely. Miss Tony?
Yes, I just want to say I'm going to put my reader hat on. As a new author, Patai, I love hearing the passion and the confidence, like people have said, and I'm really looking forward to reading your book. And also, Destiny, like he said also, taking a different turn and still having confidence in your pen. Notice it's going to be a great read, and you're already penning part two. So I am really looking forward to reading your two books. And once again, you know, that platform of Writing Rossi just has expanded my library, you know, taking me places that I wouldn't go. It's like my whirlwind library card. But I'm really looking forward to getting to know you, your work, and to continue to follow you. So you guys keep doing your thing.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Lisa.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I want to thank you guys for taking time out, because I know you both are writing and got your grind on, but you did take time out to come and talk to us and to talk to our listeners. I want to thank you to all of the listeners who pushed one, but just the fact that you guys are listening and the screen is filled up, I'm just so thankful. And all of us at Writing Rewards TV, thank you guys for all of your support, whether it's in the chat or online or on the phones. You guys always come out and support us, and we appreciate you guys for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Destiny, I'm definitely excited about what you're bringing, because I'm telling you, I read that book, and I could have swore that you had some kids on the fact to know that you don't. I'm going to have to go back and finish it now, because I need to know. And that's the one thing I love about Leo. Leo, he always encourages his authors to push their pen in different levels and write different genres and step outside of the box. And that's one thing I just mm-hmm. love about Leo Sullivan. And Ty, yes, I'm be there in line on Friday. Can
you.
I get a pass to come to the front of the line so
oh,
I don't have to stand all the way around the
definitely.
Block?
Definitely. We're gonna get you right in the you know, the VIP line on this side. And the regular people
absolutely.
That's coming in on there, we're going to get you over here. But you doing bottle service?
It's not like the club. Is it? Do I got to pay $16 to get in the VIP line?
Is that you?
Oh, Lord. This is where your fedora, Alicia. Just put your fedora on so he'll know, you know, who you are when you step up. Because, you know, it's boss status over here. So just make sure you have your fedora
yeah.
tipped to the side. And he goes like, okay, that's them right there. That's that writing royalty.
That's the writing royalty. I got you. I'm gonna be tuning in after this and listening to y'all shows from now on. I listen to a few. I heard when June Miller was on, and I heard one of the shows last week too. So y'all
yeah,
definitely
June
got a fan
a good
in me.
Dude.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, definitely.
Real good dude.
We had Freeway Ricky Ross in here last night. That was a strong and powerful show. I'm gonna put that link in your box so you can listen to that.
Okay, definitely.
Yes, it's awesome. We are honored, you know, to be able to speak with authors and have them, you know what I'm saying, in here and learn who they are. It's opening up all our horizons to different genres and different schools of thought. Everybody's from different, you know, places in the world, different states, and you don't know a person. You see a person online, but, you know, that texting and all that stuff sometimes can dilute or even taint, you know, how you feel about a person. But when they come
you're
in
right.
here, you're able to actually hear your voices, you know, and your
uh-huh.
points, and, you know that you have certain qualities and stances that you stand upon and live on, you know, that's even more of an honor than, you know, even having actual reading material. So that's
mm-hmm.
a great
yes,
experience. So
I
thank
it.
You.
Mm-hmm. I thank you all, man. I really do.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I sent Ty a request. Destiny, are we friends? What's your name on Facebook, your full name?
Destiny T. Henry. Or you can put in my whole middle name. It's kind of long.
Oh. Okay, you might have to friend us. Wait, you might have
Destiny
to friend us.
Destiny C. Henry?
And
P.
Oh, P. Okay.
T is in Tom.
Oh, T is in Tom, not P like Paul.
Yes.
Okay, like Tom. Okay. You might have to send me one, because I was looking for you when I was promoting the show. I couldn't. You wouldn't come up for me. That's Nene.
Destiny
so,
T. Henry. Destiny T. Henry?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Destiny Tynetta Henry.
You said Tynetta?
Yes,
that's
my name.
That's my sister's name.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either my spelling is out of control or I'm bugging. Like,
she's under.
I know.
If you
call her get
right royalty, Erin.
Uh huh.
She has. She likes under the event I created on the front page. You can click her link and then she'll come up that way.
Alicia, we're gonna need more
in
help.
The Writing
in
Royalty
then,
group.
But put it in our box. You know me
yep,
and Erin.
Yeah, go into the group.
We're clicking illiterate. We're not doing it.
Y'all can't be clicking illiterate. Y'all are master artists.
He's illiterate. That's a new one.
There is no such thing.
Yeah. Like, for real, we from the old school,
clicking
yo.
Clicking is
when
what
you
y'all do.
We click the keys. We don't be clicking all over
Absolutely.
The place. Lisa, that's what you do.
Last time we was in the clicking, it was when, you know, you go out in the club and then you click something and everybody look because the headlights on your joint was that joint you was walking to. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Lord, like, Erin.
I'm telling you. They're like, oh, shit. You catch people attention. They were like, click, click. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay, I see you.
You know me and Erin is in the 40-40 club. Don't be hurting our feelings and stuff, Alicia.
Hey, that's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. That's not a bad thing. That's a blessing.
No, it's not.
I'm that far.
Man, they got to live to get here. That's what I say.
Yeah.
As much death as I have seen in my day, I'm happy. I'm grateful and blessed. So. Yes, it's a good
indeed.
Thing, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. Writing Royalty had a special Wednesday night edition. We were talking about those corner hustles and those corner pockets. We had Erin Beeble, the director with the pen, Miss Alicia, Miss Tony. We have Ty Marshall. We have Miss Destiny Henry. They're dropping their new books. Ty Marshall has Eat, Pray, and No Love coming out of the Owl Camp, and Miss Destiny Henry has her Hustler's Love coming out of Leo Sullivan's camp. Two hot reads, you know, help you out with your summer, and definitely get over there and one click when you see those advertisements flowing down your news feeds. You guys, please don't hesitate to post to any of the Writing Royalty groups. You know, this is your house. You have anything new coming out, please let us know so that we can advertise and promote and, you know, let the readers know the author behind the pen.
Just a reminder,
I'm looking at all these numbers. We are giving away books. We said that at the beginning of the show. So the next 10 people, we got 4 already. So the next 10 people that hit my inbox is either going to get Ty Marshall's book, Destiny's book, or Erin Beeble's Change for a Dollar. It's only the next 10 people that hit my inbox. So if you're listening, come on with it.
You better get to hitting them boxes.
And all I ask, just leave a review. That's all, just review. Just leave
Absolutely.
Me a review, bad or good.
Bad or good.
Definitely, definitely. But it's been a wonderful evening. We thank everybody for calling in. We're going to bid you good night. Erin, go ahead and drop one of those beats. Good night, everybody.
Yes, good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Every hood got their own hustle, but this is the hustler's anthem, Hustle Hard.
Hard.
is my attire. Keep them sticks off in that cupboard. I be going hard. Them going hard. I just hit them all. You just the caught them with a couple Latin broads. I just do you other guys telling lies. Homie, free money. AG, you just pay me. Swagging in my saline. Pseudo coupe Mercedes. I am too much for you busters. I don't trust them. Them what the Lustin never love them. They won't play me for no sucker. Play me for no paper. Make my dumper. Alpha Zeta Omega. Better no one really own it. Trying better on it. Money is involved. Better know I'm on it. And that's wording to my mother. Gotta get it one way or another. I put that on my brother. I'm my head on the tumble. But it's same old shit. Just a different day. Out here trying to get it. Each and every way. Mama need a house. Baby need some shoes. Times are getting hard. Guess what I'ma do. Hard.
Rick Ross Music Group. Man, listen, man.
Yeah, Psycho, you got my headphones right. You pop champagne. Hey,